This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:06 in the evening. You're listening to Lynn and Ayman on the Evening Edition. And our next story is about something that just changes all the time. It just shifts no matter what you think. And that is, of course, alliances in Malaysian politics. Now, this is coming after Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad commented on speculation that his supporters are attempting to co-opt PAS into the federal government.
So Free Malaysia Today had reported that there may be movements towards forming a new alignment between Mahathir's Parti Pribumi Bersatu Malaysia and PAS. There had been some pictures showing PAS President Abdul Hadi Awang shaking hands with Mahathir and all that. So when coupled with the fact that PAS has shown support for Mahathir to stay the full 5 years as PM, it sort of fanned the flames of speculation that, you know, they want to work together.
So of course Tun M has laughed off the speculation, adding that he holds no grudges, that he'll work with anyone except for former Prime Minister Datuk Seri Najib Razak as long as it's good for the country. He invoked of course, Lim Kit Siang. He invoked journalists. He was like, I speak to not nice journalists and nice journalists. So, you know, he just kind of really went for it. And he said he told PAS to support the government in parliament if they feel that it's about something right, even though they are in opposition. And if they don't feel that way, then don't support the government. So a very sort of...
pragmatic.
Very pragmatic, which you could argue our Prime Minister has always been. Although, for me, what interests me about this story is I wonder if there's going to come a point where we are unable to deal with the whiplash of changing allegiances. Because for a very long time, we saw relative stability, at least in terms of the coalitions, right? You knew who was with who. If you saw fighting or any sort of... arguments, they were happening within party, if at all. And even then, when there was a strong party leader, you wouldn't necessarily see that, or at least not in public. So we are, I think, relatively new to seeing it play out and flare out so openly as we have in the last, I guess, couple of years. And we've also seen some pretty, I guess, things that we never, ever thought we would see. You know, I don't think anybody thought that they would see our current finance minister and our current defense minister standing alongside our current prime minister and going like, kumbaya, we are all friends. So we know that there have been these shifts. I do wonder, though, whether for us, the rakyat, whether it's something that eventually people will grow tired of if you see, I guess, old enemies suddenly become friends, whether there is a way to, or are we just used to it by now?
I think in a way you could look at it as some kind of hangover from the days of when the current government was were the opposition, right? So even back then, there were always like shifting component parties within the party, Pakatan Rakyat, yeah, and whatever it was. So I guess this sort of like trend or behavior has continued even in their government days. So in a way, like, if they want to continue to maintain the support of the public, they need to emit a vision of stability, you know, the image of stability, so that people know that, okay, this is safe. We know that when we vote for you, who is our prime minister, there's a transition plan, blah, 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 and all that. But obviously, that's not the case. There's still this lingering behavior going on where... relationships are fluid. It's all very pragmatic. It's more like, you know, anyone but Najib, for example. That's how they want GE14, whatever it is right now, anyone but Anwar or Mahathir. I don't know what their thinking is. So that kind of behavior, I think, should change if they want to have that stability in the government.
I think this is also related in some ways to the anxiety that a lot of people felt over, I think the term might be construed as rude, but it's the one that's coming to mind. Frogs, right? This idea that people were leaping from party to party, and that they were doing it because of whatever was convenient to them or expedient to their own interests. Mm. And at the time, I remember post GE14 having so many conversations around this exact thing, and people saying, you shouldn't. There should be no shifting of, you know, if you belong to this party, then... and you've changed your mind, you can, but you have to kind of extract yourself properly. You can't just, like, you know, leap over. And so that seems to me kind of related to this idea as well, and related to what you were saying about fluid relationships, right? Yeah. You never seem to know who exactly you are supporting with your vote. So we're talking today about political alliances in our country, in our political landscape. Are you happy seeing sort of different parties working together, or does it make you uncomfortable when there are rumors or movements that have been suggested, for example, of, Parti Beri Bumi Bersatu Malaysia, PPBM, and PAS maybe forming a new alliance? How do you feel about that? We want to know how you feel. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're crossing over now to Professor James Chin, Director of the Asia Institute at the University of Tasmania. James, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Good evening.
So what is your read of the statement that's come from Tun M, that he's open to working with anyone except for Najib?
Well, I think it's very clear that Mahathir is sending a signal to all his coalition partners and also all those people who are trying to pressure him to step down or the hand over power to somebody else. Basically, he's telling everybody that if you push me up against the wall, I always have the option of putting together a new coalition and I'll remain the prime minister.
So historically, right, how easy or quickly do political alliances switch?
In the Malaysian system, the alliances actually doesn't switch because we've always had a coalition government. So people come in and out of the actual coalition, but the core coalition partners doesn't switch that much. So, for example, if you look at the time when Malaysia or Malaya became independent, say from 57 onwards until 2018, the core of the Malayan Alliance, which later became known as the Barisan Nasional, was always UMNO, MCA, MIC. But in between the long period, it got people coming in and out of the Barisan Nasional. So Barisan Nasional started off with about 5 or 6 parties, eventually ended up with 14 political parties. So in the main, not much changes, but the way it works in Malaysia now, ever since we had the regime change in 2018, is that everything is in a transition, so the old rules do not apply anymore. So it is highly possible that if Mahathir feels that, you know, he's not ready to go and people are trying to push him, it is very possible that he will put together a new coalition.
So assuming that that does happen, or looking at the times that it has, what does it take for this new coalition to be an effective move in terms of appealing to voters? Because I would imagine that in some ways the messaging of it is quite crucial.
This is where we have to disagree. The way it works is that once you're at the very top, you put together a coalition to stay in power, the last thing you think about is whether this will appeal to the voters. Huh. It's all about staying in power rather than appealing to the voters. To be very frank with your listeners, most of the political elites in Malaysia actually don't care what the normal people think.
So do voters generally follow the party or the leader? Is it a matter of following the principle instead?
It depends on your own personal beliefs. So before I came on, I think you guys were talking about whether people were following individual candidates and whether this will affect their political thinking or the political outlook when coalitions change. My position is that it's really up to the individual. So if you look at, for example, the Malay voting trend, a lot of Malays in Malaysia are actually very worried about the trend towards Malay politics. So it comes back to the individual. If the individual believes in Ketuanan Melayu, then obviously he wants any Malay party to be the core of any new coalition for things like whether the Malay party is in charge, whether the prime minister is an ethnic Malay. That sort of thing is very important. But if that person believes that Malaysia is a multiracial country, that there must always be some sort of power sharing agreement, things like Ketuanan Melayu will not be very important. What you look for are things like stability, that every community is represented in government. So it really depends on the beliefs of the individual.
So when we look at different coalitions or switches of allegiance or alliance among politicians, what are some that you think have worked really well? What are some others that you think haven't really worked if we look at past events?
It depends really on the size of the coalition and also how the coalition rules are set in place. So one of the reasons why Barisan Nasional lasted for a very long time was that it had an open door policy. You can join Barisan anytime you want, come in and out. But the general rule was that UMNO was first Ahmad equal. So UMNO was calling the shot. So So that's the reason why Barisan was very stable for a very long time. Now, they threw up this rule when they created Pakatan Harapan. So Pakatan Harapan here, basically the four parties, and all of them are more or less equal. So that's the reason why there are some tensions. But I would argue that this is actually not a bad thing. I think what's been happening to Malaysia, again, I think a lot of people forget, is that after such a long period of one-party rule, we are going through a transition phase. So you expect politics in Malaysia to be very messy. And I've always argued that it will take quite a long time before Malaysia settles into another period of long stability. So what we're seeing now with all this talk about replacing the prime minister, all the racial and rhetoric that we're seeing in the press, all this is due to the fact that we are still in a transition period and that people are still trying to find the right political model for the country to move forward.
I wanted to kind of pick you up on something that you said there about this idea of things taking a long time, because I think that's something that we saw reflected in the statement made by Dr. Mahathir today about how I'm not a free agent. You know, anything that I want to do in terms of the cabinet has to go through all the parties. I can't just make decisions. It doesn't work that way anymore. And I suppose by necessity, what that means is also that decisions then take a longer time to happen, because obviously you have to just speak to more people in order to make it happen. Do you think that this is something people are getting used to, or is there still an impatience for decisions to be made and announced quickly, as we've just seen, I think, in the case of our former education minister?
I think people can't wait any longer, because I think what happened in 2018 was that people just completely fed up. The tipping point, the thing that really pushed people over the line was basically the one MDB and the deep-seated corruption. But I think basically Malaysia has reached a stage where I think people expect the government to be efficient and they expect the service delivery to get it right in the first time. What you find in Malaysia now is that basically the service delivery system is broken down, and that's a lot of that has got to do with the fact that the Malaysian civil service has been completely politicized. No better example than that is the education system, where we keep changing it in order to fit the political narratives. So I think the people really can't wait anymore. And also the other thing that I think that's also pushing the people towards the edge is that you don't really see a change in the cost of living. I think the reality is that it doesn't really affect your listeners, because I think your listeners is probably people from the middle class. But if you look at the majority of people, the working class in Malaysia, life has not really changed. And you can make a very strong argument that life has actually gotten worse under the Pakatan Harapan government. So I think all these are the sort of factors that are sort of pushing people to say that we want to see results now, and we really can't wait for deep structural change.
So coming back to this idea of the alliances, right? I'm just wondering, are these alliances pursued usually because of political necessity, or is it because of the alignment of values between the parties?
No. In Malaysia, values doesn't really work. It's all about getting together to capture government and to stay in power. So you can't really have, in terms of values, you can't really have a value system in any coalition. Because the thing is that usually with Malaysian political parties, if you come together in a coalition, right, there are lots of things that you don't agree on. And if you go by values alone, the coalition will not even, will not even get together in the first place.
So one thing that we talked about earlier was that post-GE14, we did see some UMNO members hopping to Bersatu, some specifically with the stated reason of being able to do their work better. Do you think then that party loyalty as a concept really might be losing ground here?
Again, it depends on which constituency you're talking about. Party labeling is extremely important in the urban areas, but if you go to the rural areas, it's usually a mixture of party labels and the candidate factor. In other words, the candidate plays a very important role. But in the urban area, yes, party identification is much, much stronger.
Prof, thank you very much for your thoughts.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
So that was Professor James Chin, Director of the Asia Institute at the University of Tasmania, weighing in on the notion of alliances in Malaysian politics, because, like we said, we've seen in recent years, in the last decade, some new alliances show up that I think previously would have been thought just utterly impossible, you know, just never going to happen.
Who would have thought Mahathir working with Lim Kit Siang, right?
That's the thing. So, and then, of course, Mahathir and Anwar. So there are all these very old stories that we tell ourselves about who will work with who and why. And yet we're seeing that that's not necessarily the case anymore. And this is coming up in the face of some unverified suggestions that perhaps a new alignment between PPBM and PAS might be happening. So we just wanted to know, what are your thoughts? What do you think is going on? How do you feel about different alliances taking place? Do you just... I don't know. I feel a bit torn about it, because on the one hand, I think diversity is a good thing. On the other hand, I agree with Prof. James and think that most of it is just out of expediency. Most of it is just because, I need to stay in power. I need to get things done. So whatever.
And it's not great for voters as well. There's uncertainty about whether if you vote for this person, are they going to jump ship like 3 weeks later? And I think that is the flaw of voting for the party rather than the values of the individual. That's a huge, huge sort of like hole in our system. But that's just the way it is. I mean, if you want to gain the trust of the voters, you know, you gotta behave accordingly. don't jump ship very quickly.
So if you would like to weigh in, do call us. 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Kamal says, you know, agree, not just PAS, but UMNO as well. Dun M is going to be safe. And this is, of course, to do with the idea that, look, of sending the message to his own current ruling coalition and saying, hey, cross me. And I can form a new coalition.
Yeah, yeah. So in a way, it's a political posturing, right? It's like, maybe I'm not so genuine in this, you know, allegiance with PAS or UMNO or whatever. What I want is, you know, I want to stay in power. So if you do push me against the wall, you know, I have options, basically.
And then we have Munif Malik saying, a slap to the face of the voters is what it is. Plain and simple, it makes democracy a sham, a joke. And voting you people out, oh, wait, you're back. Waving a different flag.
That's the nature of it. It's a very fluid sort of relationship amongst the political parties and the candidates. You know, we just have to like deal with it, I guess. So long as they don't change, so long as there's still that selfishness, as Professor James said, you know, it's all about holding on to power. You know, this will continue to go on.
Well, Stephen raises a really good point, saying Prof is spot on when he said elite politicians only care about staying in power, not what the people want. And that's why hoping for a new Malaysia requires new faces that are not from the old government. There's too much baggage to move ahead. Let's be real. And I read this and I thought that's really interesting, in part because we are talking exactly about how long it's going to take. And when I think about new faces that aren't from the old government, I also hear the echoes of the criticism that have been coming their way, which is they've never sat in government before. So many, you know, first-time ministers, so many first-time MPs or whatever. And because of that, they're not used to the work of governance and the criticism that has come their way because of that. So I think you have like two sides of the system. On the one hand, you've got the old guard. They know how to do everything, but that's partly the problem. They know how to do everything, and they perhaps haven't run it to the best of, or in the best, in everyone's best interests. And then on the flip side, you've got new people who maybe need that experience, but in getting that experience, will make mistakes.
I guess it's just the same as any other young person trying to get a job, right?
Yeah.
You don't have experience, but we need someone with this education, but someone with this education doesn't have the experience and all that. It's a whole cycle. But I'm thinking of the, again, the US Democratic primaries. There's this battle between Joe Biden, who's been around for decades, versus someone like Pete Buttigieg, a small town mayor of South Bend. So what he has had to do, Mayor Pete has had to do, is to prove his credentials through other means. So he's had experience in this other area and this other area. So that, in a way, can help win over voters. So what I'm saying is that for the younger generation of politicians, they need to figure out a way to communicate their ideas and experience so that, you know, they can win over voters.
So share your thoughts with us. We're talking today about political alliances in Malaysian politics and whether or not we've gotten used to the whiplash that comes with new coalitions, new friendships coming out of old enmity. I don't know. Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.